Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Courtney Cronin in for Cap. I'm J-Hood. We got Shay. We got J-Moore. We got you here on this Wednesday morning. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. And this hour, you're going to hear wild. You're going to hear a lot of crazy thoughts, people saying wild-ish. We'll have that this hour for you. You've got plenty of sound of people saying wild-ish. I don't know where it's coming from, but we will hear that in our 9 o'clock hour right here on ESPN 1000. Okay, so if you're just joining us, we are picking up on a story we had in our last segment, and that is Jordan Poole of the Golden State Warriors. Don't leave. Don't leave. We're not talking about the NBA, not just yet. We're talking about Jordan Poole. So he spent, Courtney, $500,000 on a date with Ice Spice. Rapper Ice Spice. This is correct, right?
That is right. Okay. According to the streets, but I don't know. I mean, yes. The rumors.
Yes. Okay, Shay Norling. There are more details of why Jordan Poole, a Golden State Warrior, and again, we could break down the sports part of it where he's just, I think it's a mistake by Golden State to pay him, especially for the lack of ROI that you're getting from him on the floor. He's just an unpredictable sort. But as far as him in his dating habits, what's the story here? Poole spends $500,000 on a date with Ice Spice.
Yeah, so we have to mention, none of this is confirmed. We don't know for sure that this is true. Mm-hmm. But it is rumored that he intended to spoil her on this first date. He apparently bought her expensive clothes from Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and others. He also allegedly got her a Maybach truck worth approximately $171,000.
On the first date.
First date.
Allegedly.
I guess we're doing it wrong.
Oh, okay.
Shoot for the moon on the first date.
I think that's what he was going for. But I want to ask you this, though.
Okay.
If this was you, right? If someone, on the first date, you're going out and he's trying to give you lavish gifts and spend that kind of money, first of all, would you even consider
going on a date with Jordan Poole?
With someone that would give you that kind of money. $500,000.
No, because there's always something that they want in return, and to me that sounds like the foreign prince thing. You know those emails you get like, "Help, I'm in jail. I need $500,000 to get out, and my family and all." That's what that reminds me of.
Yes.
No, so I would think red flag after red flag. And I don't want the feds coming in my house seizing everything eventually, because you know that the bill's going to come due and that guy's not going to be able to come pay for it.
Then it becomes a lifetime special.
Yeah, no thanks.
So, I mean, okay, they're both in the entertainment field, yes. But your first date, this is what you're doing? I mean, okay, so a couple of things at work here. Jay Moore, do you believe that Jordan Poole's in love? Like all of a sudden he thinks that she's the one based on a first date? Because why would you drop that kind of coin?
I think he's confused.
I'm going to just say this.
Yes. Well, that's always an option, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's always an option, absolutely, after the first date. Okay. Yeah. All right, but I'm wondering, well, I mean, well, look, that might be the case. Is it worth $500,000? Mm. Must be golden in their thighs. Seriously.
Shout out to Church's Chicken.
I mean, all right, let's just put it this way. If we're going to go there, think of the best sex you've ever had. Would you spend $500,000 for it?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
Not in this economy, no.
In what economy?
Dubai?
Leave it to Courtney to take it to Capitol Hill.
wait.
Just a second now. Okay. But I mean, so, but then the other gifts along with it, though, I don't understand.
It'd be one thing if it was a shopping spree, and then his insecure ass has to say, "Oh, well, you really like me? How about here's a Maybach?"
Ooh, that's weird.
Like, it lost me at the car.
Yes.
I'd be like, "Ooh, that's a little much." If you want to go shower her in lavish gifts, I mean, she does make a lot of money. I would assume she hasn't blown it all, even though she's only been relevant for 15 minutes.
You got to look at Jordan's spiral. After the Draymond slap.
Yes.
Everything decided to just go downhill from there.
He's been going through it.
So maybe he's insecure. He's spending a little cash to try to get some, you know?
He said, "I'm going to prove it to the boys. I'm cool."
And, you know, they're laughing at him. Like, you know, if this is true, they're laughing at him in the locker room. You think Steph and Clay are impressed with that?
Like, you're not down. Like, you wait. You is this true? You spent $500,000 on Annie, on Black Annie. Is that? Did you really do that? Seriously? You bought her a car. Is this true?
Yeah.
Really? Come on, man. Here's what I suspect. I suspect that he just doesn't have much game. That's where that comes out. Because if you got to pay for it, you don't have much game. You don't
own it off the court.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, clearly, right? Clearly.
10 minutes.
I mean, when I say game, I'm not saying play a game on a lady. I'm saying you don't have the gift of gab to be able to have a relationship, to be able to grow a relationship. You just throw money at the problem because you don't have the wherewithal to be able to speak and to be able to connect to someone.
It's a sign of a larger issue.
Somebody in the Twitch chat gave him a new name, Jordan Fool.
That's a good one.
Very good.
How long till Draymond mentions this on his podcast?
Oh.
He's got to be off the team first.
When they get blasted out of the playoffs tonight, and everybody raises the question, is the dynasty over? And then Draymond releases his post-mortem podcast. He's going to blame this all on Jordan Poole spending $500,000 on Ice Spice.
So, first of all, this fool let me hit him in his face, and he didn't do anything about it. So he hasn't been the same since. He thinks that he's in my position. He's not. I'm sure that Draymond will say. And then this whole thing with Annie or Ice Spice, and he'll go into that. That'll be segment 3 on his podcast for The Volume. I'm sure that that'll be the case. I just don't think he has any game. If you're throwing money at the problem, saying, look how much money I have, that means that you are shallow and you don't have a lot. That's why
he's masking an insecurity, and he chose a hot name at the moment that he thinks people are into when we know the entertainment cycle moves on every 5 minutes. So who will it be tomorrow? I mean, he's throwing this money at Ice Spice. It's not like he's throwing it at Zendaya or some of the other big names that you end up seeing courtside at these Warriors games.
And speaking of that, by the way, for some reason, Kim Kardashian has resurfaced in back-to-back games here, wearing a shirt that says, I love nerds. And there's been speculation of who she's interested in now. She's got her crosshairs on someone.
Is she not down there keeping eyes on Tristan Thompson? He's on the Lakers roster.
She posted him on his Instagram. He was giving her the thumbs up and a nice little smile. She swears she's just a sports fan. She said she's not dating anyone on either team. She's not looking to date anyone. She just wants to head to the games and have a nice time.
You believe that? I do not.
What do I care? Sure, Kim could be a sports fan.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say something. I'm going to go to bat for her. I think it's ridiculous that a famous woman can't just go to a game the same way like Jack Nicholson can.
Their family ruins the careers of athletes. That's why there's the concern level of those of us in this studio that doesn't want to see careers ruined.
Yeah, and I have a short bridge to sell you, by the way. It's $1,000. It's just down the street, Shay. Go get that. It's just $1,000. Go get that short bridge. Clearly, she's interested in Austin Reeves. I think that's pretty clear.
What a come up for young Austin Reeves.
I think just like any good scout, she's looking in to find out what's next. And I believe that Austin Reeves is next. She says, has a t-shirt that says, I love nerds. So that's definitely Austin Reeves. And actually, we should turn over here now to the content director of ESPN 1000 and Dan Zetterman. Could you please bring Danny Zetterman to the microphone, please? Because we need a Kim Kardashian expert. Don't do that. Don't do that. You got to fill this bucket, pal. I just need to know just your overall thoughts, because you are our Kardashian expert. So you could help us out here. She's been in back-to-back games, Danny. Who's she interested in now? I think it's Austin Reeves.
No, I don't think she's got, first and foremost, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Secondly, I'm not a Kim Kardashian expert anymore. You know me, Hoodie, for 20
anymore.
Plus. You know me for 20 plus years,
yes.
Hoodie. Courtney, you know me for a while. I am as loyal as the day is long.
Yeah.
I have now turned my back on Kim.
What happened?
Well, first of all, you know how I feel about Kanye. He does not like my people.
Uh-huh.
She married the dude. You got to know when somebody hates Jews and you're marrying them. You know, that's not like a surprise.
Uh-huh.
So I'm off on her on that.
Uh-huh.
And she's lost too much weight for me.
Oh.
She's a little too skinny.
What happened there?
I don't know. She changed her diet. Maybe she's been listening to the Armchair Nutritionist. But here's the thing. Okay. I don't think she's been going to these games to support the Lakers. doesn't Tristan Thompson have a kid with her sister?
Yeah.
And I believe that flame is being rekindled. It's like an on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again thing. I think right now we're in an on-again period.
Okay, so she's keeping an eye on him.
Exactly.
She's not doing anything on the court, but she's keeping an eye on him on the bench with his eye out into the crowd looking for his next mother of his child.
Exactly. Figure that out. Also, if you know anything about the Kardashians, they're all about what can give them shine.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wins a ring or being associated with LeBron James, this helps the Kardashian name.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I just thought this for someone who's been part of the Kardashian coverage for a couple of decades that you would be, you know, give us a little insight, but it looks like you've left that beat.
You know, she was number one on my power rankings for a while.
No question.
I think she's tanking. Yeah. And she's going into a rebuilding year.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd ask. I thought because you would know. But you're totally off the beat, though. After 20 years, you've hung up the hat. There's no more Kardashian beat for you.
How'd you get onto the beat in the first place?
Well, have you seen her?
Well, yeah, but I would never think Danny, of all people, would be like number one on Kim Kardashian's fan list.
Oh, you think it'd be me?
No, okay. I never said that. I just
who would it be, Sylvie?
I don't know. I didn't think any.
Her butt's really cute, right?
What about Yurko?
Of course, he'd ask Waddle. He'd ask Waddle if that's right.
I didn't know you guys were such experts. I mean,
well, Danny is. That's why we brought him in. I mean, this is the guy that you go to for Kardashian news.
The way you cover the Bears used to be the way that I cover the Bears. Every press conference, you know, I wrote stories.
That's true. That is true. So that's why we know we're doing. We're bringing in a correspondent.
No, your personnel. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's off of it, though, because, you know.
Just like Courtney went from the Vikings beat to the Bears, I've moved on from the Kim beat. I'm still looking for my next beat.
Oh, okay.
I haven't found it yet.
Ice Spice. He'll be on the Ice Spice beat.
I don't know who that is.
That's what we were just talking about. It's Jordan Poole's fake girlfriend. They spent $500,000 on a date with.
It's Black Annie.
Oh.
You want me? I'll call it up here. You need to see this. Because we don't understand why
so
Ice
she's
Spice.
Fake?
She's like Little Orphan Annie, but
a
drill rapper. No, she's an adult, I think.
A New York drill rapper.
Yeah, she's a New York
drill. You could compare someone to Annie.
I mean, tell me you wouldn't say the same thing. That's Annie.
Yeah. Weird, right?
Even like Raggedy Ann, the doll.
I'm still formulating an opinion.
Yeah. I think you know the opinion. It's very odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Odd look.
It is odd.
She's Raggedy Ann.
She is. Yeah. It's a hard knock life.
That's what Jordan Poole's after right there. Giving her $500,000 allegedly on a date. Giving her a Maybach. Yeah, so.
Not an orphan anymore.
So there you have it, see? And we thank Danny Zetterman, our former Kardashian expert. I mean, he covered it just like the White House.
I mean, now I got to go find his coverage. I feel bad that I didn't know this.
Are you getting annoyed by the praise that the national media is giving Justin Fields? Wait until you hear what people have said about Justin Fields. A lot of wild comments out there we'll play for you coming up next regarding Justin Fields. It's Cap and Jay Hood, Courtney Cronin in for Cap on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney and I are with you until 10, and then Black and Abdallah from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko, 12 to 2. Robbie Gold, right? Robbie's in with Sylvie from 2 to 6. Random White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Royals. You can hear our coverage right here on the Home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. I like the NIL deal that has been struck with Robbie Gold, because Robbie's been sounding comfortable as if he's been doing this for a while, so it's cool to have him on our air. You disagree?
No, 312. I
agree. I mean, you can put a pace bus.
Oh, no.
You can put a pace bus through that. By the way, I mean,
but he's been good. He and JD used to do radio together. I'm going back like years. He's not brand new with this.
Not so sure. I like him. I mean, apparently he's an acquired taste for you. 312. I mean, seriously.
That was the most quiet no comment I've ever heard. The silence was deafening.
I mean, it was an easy
pass. The
way
he's setting it up, though, is making it sound like Robbie's never done radio before. He was doing radio in this city with JD for years.
I'm just saying with Sylvie, it's a good sounding show.
Okay.
And then there was this long ellipses, and it's like, oh, maybe he sucks. I don't know. Courtney, I'm just throwing you the ball. This is my position. I'm just throwing you the ball.
Sorry I was a little late for the oop, but
I mean,
I just thought it was a given. We knew he was good at
radio.
You're
in Cap's chair. Of course you were late for the oop. It happens over there.
I mean, my God, I thought we were off the air, Shay. So some thoughts.
The Jim Rome alarm.
Seriously. I mean, I thought that we were in agreement with Robbie Gold. I like Robbie Gold, right? But apparently you, I mean. All right, we move on.
Starting me off on a great foot with my new colleague.
Who?
Me. You starting me off. Now Robbie Gold's going to think I hate him.
I didn't say that. I said he sounded good, and I threw it to you, and you thought,
Courtney, Robbie Gold's on line 11.
Put him through.
Hello, Robbie. He didn't. That was a diss to you. He was there, and then he's like, up. Nope, he's done. All right, we turn now to a Bears conversation with Justin Fields.
Okay.
All right, very good. Quicker. So Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy Fowler was talking to people about Justin Fields. Listen to this.
That very point you just made about Fields keeping the Bears in games they had no business being in, that exact same point was made by somebody in the organization that I spoke directly to. They said that only certain players in this league have the ability to elevate an entire team. Fields is one of them. Now, there is still some skepticism that exists among some team officials around the league that I've spoken to about his ability to get it done as a pocket passer. Can he be that precision guy that you need from the pocket? Those questions are not going away until he proves otherwise, but the Bears believe he is on the right track, and they believe the upgrades along the offensive line will help him along in a big way.
That sounds better than how it was written.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's fair.
I do, too.
That's fair. You look at last season, Courtney, and you say, well, what did he have to work with? And you saw the games like everybody else saw the games, in which there were times where if there was no one open and he wasn't going to run, like, you're not going to do a design run, you got to go back and pass. And he looked at the landscape and said, my God, there's nobody open. So what am I supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. I'll just dump it to Montgomery or something, right? And so I think that how he said that is fair. Justin does have more to prove. I just think that the upside is good for Justin. Not saying he's going to be great. Not saying that he's going to be, you know, a stellar quarterback for the next 10 years. I'm saying that there's room for improvement, but it doesn't mean that he's horrible or what we saw last year is who he is. Is that fair?
No, 100%. I don't know anybody who would rationally look at this, though, and say that's who he is with a good team around him.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody looks at the situation last year and knows that they had to decimate this roster to do what they wanted to do, to get the number one pick, to have the leverage with the draft capital to go out and, you know, build this roster, continue to build this roster, and then also get a wide receiver, a number one in the mix. Like, this was set up purposefully this way. And Fields is told last year, you're going to have to play with your hand tied behind your back and somehow survive this season. The production we saw from him, especially in that 5-game stretch from week 7 through 11, that was him in spite of horrific circumstances on offense, the pass protection, the injuries to the offensive line that caused them to shift personnel in and out, the fact that his receivers were not very good. That's a mishmash room. They actually have clear defined roles for guys now. And he still performed in spite of all of those things. And he didn't get injured outside of the shoulder, and only missed one game.
Mm-hmm.
All of those factors come into play in projecting what this year could look like for him. If he looked good under bad circumstances, imagine what he could look like under much more favorable circumstances. And I'm not going to say it's great because his roster still has a lot of holes on it.
Yeah.
But offensively, things look a lot better than they did 365 days ago.
I think the Fowler sound we heard, the 35 seconds of Fowler, was fair based on who he's talked to. Yes, the passing game's got to get better. I want Justin Fields to slash his rushing yards in half. And if that's the case, that means that he's finding weapons down the field where it's not all him, or the running game's working, or the offensive line's working. Everything working in concert. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then you get this from Keyshawn Johnson and Max Kellerman.
Justin Fields has an all-time breakout year and wins MVP, believe it or not.
I would say I believe it. I think when you look at his skill set, he can turn into something. He may wind up having a potential Lamar Jackson-type year at the MVP level.
That's what it would
level.
Look like, yeah.
Or maybe even a Jalen Hurts, even though he doesn't have the receiving core that Jalen Hurts has, but he does have some pieces with DJ Moore and Claypool in position to make some plays for him. So I believe it.
Again, hear the setup.
Justin Fields has an all-time breakout year and wins MVP, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. All-time? All-time?
This is a dead air silence that's intentional that I'm giving you right now.
All-time's not even the... Wins MVP being the crux of the argument is nuts to me. He's not even had a 3,500-yard season. Wins MVP?
And it would look like Lamar Jackson in the unanimous year in 2019.
Well, I don't want him to be Lamar Jackson. How about that? How about that?
I don't think he wants to be either. You heard what he said about rushing records and that he doesn't necessarily want to break them. He's a quarterback. He wants to throw the ball.
Someone will hear that and think I'm dissing Lamar Jackson. I you know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Justin Fields, again, watching him in college, what we saw last year is not Justin Fields. That's not what he would. He doesn't want to run all over the yard, even though he can. He wants to be able to matriculate the ball down the field and be able to connect to receivers and move the offense along. It's a vertical passing league. He'd rather do that than be able to run for his life.
Because he's got to survive in this. And if you want a long career, it's been shown the more you run, the more hits you take, that's going to shorten your career. I look at his numbers and what Luke Getsy said in all of this with the light years conversation and then going into what his production was like last year. When you're talking purely completions and attempts, he had 192 completions out of 318 attempts, 2,242 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. A third of those, he went back and looked and he said about a third of those rushing, those were broken pass plays that he decided to tuck and run. If you can get him out of that mindset where that's patience in the pocket, that's hanging in there longer probably than he's comfortable doing right now, maybe the protection and the way that it has improved on paper will give him more comfort that he's not going to get his head taken off and get sacked 55 times, not all of which I'm blaming on the offensive line. Some of those are on him just holding onto the ball too long. It's the anticipatory throws. It's trusting your receivers are capable of doing their job and catching the ball, something that I know sounds so rudimentary, that wasn't the case with the group last year.
Right.
All of those things factor into the cutting down of the 160 rushing attempts that he had last year. He shouldn't be the second. He really shouldn't be like the second leading rusher on this team.
He should not.
You have a much deeper group at running back, whether it's Roschon Johnson eventually becoming your number one back, Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman. That should be those guys where Fields can, of course, like them saying all this doesn't mean that they're never going to utilize his legs for the explosive edge that they get from Fields as a runner. They just don't want to defer to that because nothing else works on offense, and that's the only way for them to move the ball.
So the question that Courtney and I have for you, the Bears fan, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Are you getting annoyed by the praise the national media is heaping on Justin Fields? I guess the ultimate question is, how much is too much? I mean, when you look at Justin Fields, what he did last year and the weapons now, is it more what Max and Keyshawn Johnson were talking about or what Jeremy Fowler was talking about regarding, hey, he's got room for improvement? So you heard both ends of the spectrum. Let's get your thoughts. And also still to come, something wild that you got to hear from Mike Greenberg, my longtime colleague. We'll get to that as well in our next half hour. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings starting at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Everything all right in there? Are they all right, Shane? What happened there? What happened? You all right?
We have a certain regular caller who had a gripe with what you and Courtney were saying. called. I put him on hold to wait so that he could talk to you guys on the air. He hung up and then called back to yell at me about it. I didn't say anything. If you want to yell at somebody, this is how it works. We have an open line system. You call in. I put you on hold. You go on the air. You talk to the hosts of the show. Don't call me and yell at me about something I didn't say.
Well, makes now no I want to know what it is. So I doubt he's calling back.
And those are your headlines.
He said Keyshawn Johnson played professional football. He should know better than the two of you. And I said, okay, hang on. You can take it up with them. Then he calls back to yell at me. I didn't say anything.
Jay Moore.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Best headlines we've ever had here on Cap and Jay Hood. Here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll cross talk with Black and Abdallah coming up at 10. 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number. Are you getting annoyed by the praise the national media is heaping on Justin Fields? Not just on Justin Fields, but something else we got to get to as well. But first, let us go to the phone lines and talk to you. Let's talk a little bit about with Matt and Streamwood on ESPN 1000. All right, Matt.
Hi, Hoodie. Hey, Courtney. Thanks for taking my phone call. Courtney, yes. I know you're on the national media. I hear it all the time. How come the national media never, ever calls out Eberflus and his defense? I always hear about Justin Fields has to get better. Mm-hmm. But the national media never says, what is Coach Eberflus? Why does he get a free pass this year again? Because he doesn't have a defensive end? That Ryan Poles didn't select a defensive end for him? Because his two defensive ends have let him down this year. They mm-hmm. just don't. They're not getting pushed. Robinson and Gibson just won't get to the quarterback, and then just they have no one behind them to push them or any competition. So I'm going to hear the same excuses this year from Eberflus that, well, I don't have my defensive end, so we can't get to the quarterback, and my safety is going to lead in sacks.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call on that, because it is true. Like, but defenses don't sell. You know what I mean? It doesn't carry the same sort of headline unless you've got the Philadelphia Eagles leading the league with 70 sacks. You will so rarely, unless it's on NFL Live or a place where there is the room to have conversation about schematically what's going on with the team. Quarterbacks sell, offense sells. It's probably the reason, just like from a 30,000 foot view, like why we don't talk about defense enough. But here locally, we can take the gripes that you have about this defense that you wish the national media would address and inject some of that flair into it here, because you're right. Like, you can't have what we saw in Detroit, the final, second to last game of the season, happen again this year. You can't have a pass rush that literally struggles to do what its namesake is, to rush the passer. Now, I know that there's, at least since the draft, in the 2 weeks now, the conversation shifts to, well, what about an edge rusher? What about Leonard Floyd? What about Yannick Ngakoue? Any of these players that are out there? And why they're still waiting. Well, they're still waiting because the price is too high, very clearly. Otherwise, those players would have found their way onto rosters somewhere and at a price that they wanted to play at. But there's no pass being given, I think, on Eberflus and the defense right now, just at least from my perspective. I'm not giving them a pass at all. I've been saying I think the scheme needs a facelift in a lot of different ways because the pass rush and the rush plan is too predictable. Now, will they do that? They've obviously had the time for the self-scout and for going back in trying to tweak, now that they have new personnel in some places, what they can do. Does that mean it will change? Not necessarily. And if it doesn't, that's when I think the heat gets turned up on this defense, just as much in terms of how much we're talking about this, the same amount as we're talking about Justin Fields and the offense.
The offense and the defense are the same conversation to me, Courtney.
Okay.
Same conversation.
Yeah, just different sizes of the ball.
Well, yes. I'm just, thank you. Thank you, Football 101. Thank you. Is that
paid
for?
No, apparently their caller who was mad at you and me said, we don't know anything because we never played football. So I'm just making sure people know we know.
I know.
The X's and O's.
Yes.
Which, by the way, if I may weigh in again, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This guy is hot right now.
No, it's just stupid. And I was mad at him for saying it to you two. And I'm mad at it again because it's like saying you can't dislike a movie because you never directed one. Oh, you're not Steven Spielberg. You're not allowed to say that Pacific Rim sucked. It's like, get out of here. All right. It's one of the most frustrating things I ever hear.
Thank you, Bob, for the phone call. And hanging
up. He didn't even have to call. Yeah. He just got it all there.
I mean, lose this number.
That would be nice. And anytime you have a call like that, that means Bob has skipped his morning medication. That's why he called with that take. You know what? There he is. There's LaGrange Bob. There he is. And goodbye. What I was going to say is that it's, you know, the question marks that we have about the offense and them being bereft of quality or difference makers. Same thing with the defense. It's the same conversation. The Bears have enough defense to be able to make stops? Clearly not. What bothered me the most last year was the Dallas game. Mm-hmm. Like Detroit, it's like, okay, you're done. The Simeon game, where is Simeon going to play? Is he not going to play? That whole nonsense with the Jets in that game on November 27th. Okay, that was a bad defensive game too. I sat in an Austin, Texas bar, and I watched the Bears against the Cowboys amongst a whole bunch of Cowboys fans. And I saw what I thought was business decisions made by the secondary. That's what mm-hmm. I thought I saw. And I don't want to use the quit word. I hate using that because I don't know what's in the heart of players. I don't know the scheme. All I know is that when you watch those, you were there, you see that game, it's like, boy, you're
well,
just...
Well, also not knowing the rules, too. They had to touch, was it Pollard?
Yes.
They touched him down. Like, they didn't know the rules.
I mean... That was just to me the worst game I saw last year defensively for the Bears. I mean, it's 29 points should be enough for you to win, but not when you give up 49. And that's my whole thing, my whole dynamic with this Bears thing. There could be improvement with Justin Fields, but if the defense still sucks, then where's the growth of Justin Fields and the team? Does that make sense?
Like, no, it does, because it all works hand in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, the priorities and the resources have shifted over to the offensive side of the ball, but that doesn't mean you can let the defense go to the wayside. You still have a defensive head coach who has installed his scheme here. He's not calling it, but it's his defense. And if you don't have the right scheme, if the players don't fit that, and I do think that they have the right fits, and that's something that they've been very intentional about, the players that they're bringing into this defense, but if it doesn't work, then there's a disconnect and something that you need to change. I don't think anybody's going to give them a pass, though.
No.
And did people give them a pass last year for how bad the defense was?
No.
Was it just like lower on the priority list of things to call in and yell about because it, you know, there's so many other glaring things?
I think that also we in the media and those talking heads are so offensive minded, mm-hmm. vertical passing game. If the offense doesn't work, then the team sucks. No, there's three phases that need to be addressed at all times. Maybe for some, talking about the defense isn't sexy enough, but all I know is I saw some lopsided losses and I was pissed off about it. With some shows, Cap and I would start off, I would talk about the defense first. Like, okay, the offense is trailing behind, but this defense, when they actually had a little talent early, should have been able to do something. And so, no, I was on it because I was disappointed. It's the worst defense I've ever seen with the Bears. Because I've lived through Bears football where the team was terrible, but the defense got after it. It's like the Bears would give up 14, maybe 21 points. The offense would be terrible, but at least the defense was getting to the quarterback. At least there was a pass rush.
Sure.
At least there was something in the secondary. I just didn't see that last year. All right, as we switch gears here, my longtime colleague, Mike Greenberg, and I worked with him in the 90s. We produced shows together. That's how long I've known Greenberg, for a long time. He would produce shows Monday through Friday, and he'd have a Saturday morning show. And he'd always talk about the sports apocalypse. I'm telling you, Hoodie, the sports apocalypse, it's coming. Sports is, it's all over the place. Sports will never be the same. It's a sports apocalypse. I'm like, Mike, you going to talk about this every Saturday? I'm telling you, it's coming. He'd do this every Saturday, the sports apocalypse. So I've known him for a long time. And sometimes he has these wild theories. I can't say he needs a vacation because the man's been working hard. I understand that. But some of these things he's been saying lately is just crazy. Oh, you hear Shay yelling at Bob right through the window? It's the best. Greeny on Game 5. He says that the Lakers have no chance and should rest LeBron and AD. Listen to this.
LeBron needs to just slip a nice comfy robe over that pair of slippers and get set to watch Game 5 tomorrow night from the comfort of his mansion in wherever it is in L.A. that he lives, because he shouldn't even go to San Francisco. I'm going to make this point again, and I'm going to use a baseball analogy. All right, I'm going down with the ship on this theory. The Lakers have no chance of winning Game 5 of the series. The Warriors are going to be playing for their dynasty at home with the crowd. They're going to win. Don't waste any of LeBron and AD's energy on this game.
So he's saying that LeBron and AD should rest tonight's game, right?
He is saying that load management should be a part of the Western Conference semifinals. That is, you heard that correctly.
That is insane. It's something that the league needs to work on, period. This is actually ruining the legacy of Adam Silver, to me. It is. Because you have now you're making the regular season irrelevant when, hey, I'm in Minnesota and I want to see the Lakers play. Oh, LeBron's not playing? Oh, I saved all my money to see Lakers Minnesota and now I can't see him because every time I go to my favorite arena, when I see my NBA team, the stars don't play. It's ruining the league. How do they fix it? I don't know. That's above my pay grade. What I'm saying is that that's one thing in the regular season. But you get in the postseason, you expect to see the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that the Lakers are up 3-1 in Golden State, and Greenberg doesn't think that Golden State has a little bit more fuel to get back in this series, just lay out AD and LeBron, rest for the next series. You think that possibly the Golden State Warriors can come back? Yes, they can. They have great shooting still with Steph and Clay. They still have one of the smartest guys in the league in Draymond Green. The idea that Greenberg thinks, you know what, just sit out, just load manage, that's nonsense. You want to really ruin the league? Do that in the postseason. And by the way, wouldn't be surprised if we've already seen that already, especially with the Clippers, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Kawhi and Paul George. Right, Paul George, legit injury. Kawhi, same thing, but he's missed so much time. He works the NBA like a part-time job. It's not McDonald's. It's the NBA.
And I get where Greeny's coming from there because of the minutes that LeBron had to play in the first series against Memphis. He looked worn at the end. Going into game six, he looked tired. Fortunately, they were able to close him out in six, moving into this series. I mean, he's coming off a night where he played 43 minutes.
Yes.
Like, I think that the concern is there, but we had a caller on network radio yesterday, and he brought up the idea, should you sit AD for game five? He didn't bring up LeBron, but like, Anthony Davis finally strung together two really great performances in back-to-back games. No, not in the slightest. And I wouldn't even say that during the regular season, but I'm also anti-load management. So
right. He's missed enough time. He doesn't need
yes.
to lose. No.
And this no. is a championship team they're facing. I know the Warriors are down 3-1. And in 2016, when I covered them, they came back from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. They've shown they can do it. They've also shown they can be on the other side of this thing with a 3-1 deficit that they give up. But the games at home for the Warriors, and you're suggesting that you rest your two stars to get them ready for game six and you can win it on your home floor? Absolutely not.
It is so ridiculous. And again, this is a harebrained scheme that Greenberg came up with. But there's a way to load manage. You know how to load manage? If you're up 20 at the half, you can lessen the minutes.
Sure. LeBron played 33 in the blowout in game three.
Yes. You can lessen the minutes. That's not load management, but that's fewer minutes. That's a way to do that, you know. All I know is that Golden State is not dead. Yeah, they're down 3-1. It doesn't look good, but I'm playing everything that I have. I'm doing everything I can to advance, and I need AD and I need LeBron to get there. You think you're going to be carried by Lonnie Walker? You think Lonnie Walker's going to have another 15-point game and Austin Reeves going to knock down threes like that?
Kim Kardashian hopes so. That's her project.
I think so. I think it is. I think we're going to see an Austin Reeves, Kim Kardashian combo where they both wear shirts that says, I love nerds. It's happening.
It is.
It's happening. She's just a sports fan. Oh, she's more than a sports fan. She does more than that. That's what I think. All I have is proof, Courtney. That's all I have. All the people that she's dated.
So maybe she's dating somebody on the Warriors and about to wreck the dynasty.
Oh, you want to
by that logic.
Reckless speculation?
Jordan Poole.
$500,000. We will have the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and J-Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with Courtney Cronin. In for Cap, I am Jay Hood. Now time for the Cap'n Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Have you been to Chicago Cut, Courtney?
I have.
It's outstanding.
Sylvie's favorite place.
Everyone's favorite place. Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Either outside or inside?
I've sat inside. I've not done the riverfront seating yet, but that's on my summer bucket list.
It is a fantastic place. Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Make sure you ask for David Flom. Great food, great service, and a great time for clients, family, or if you're just doing a one-off by yourself, just want to just have a nice, quiet lunch or dinner alone, read the newspaper, you could do that at ChicagoCutSteakhouse.com. All right, Jay Moore, what do we have?
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Why keep them over there for 2 weeks? Isn't the point to expose European audiences to more NFL? Why give them the same team twice in a row?
Because that's what the European fans have the most jerseys of? Because they played over there so often?
By the way, is the NFL giving out jerseys? Because you see the most random jerseys at these London games. It'll be like Jags and Colts, and there's a fan in a Chad Pennington Jets jersey. No shot some guy in Tottenham has a Chad Pennington jersey laying around in his closet.
It's either in those countries or Africa.
It's the Super Bowl shirts.
I mean, how many championship jerseys, like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl championship? There's a person in Soweto or mm-hmm. Johannesburg that's wearing Eagles championship. Like, no, it's Kansas City. They're the Super Bowl champion. I don't know. It was just shipped here. It was just a box that came to the square. And we were just picking shirts and jerseys. It's unbelievable. I think that's what happened. I just think that they cleaned out the Dick's Sporting Goods and just like, hey, we can't use this anymore. Ship them off.
Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl champion.
Exactly. I got like the Reggie Wayne Patriots jersey. He didn't even make the roster.
Relatives of Mandela wearing jerseys and shirts that don't make sense anymore. Why are you? Hey, dude, where did you get that? It's like, hey, man, he was just in a box, and I just picked it up from the store. It was awesome. I mean, seriously. God, White Sox World Series champions 2021. Where'd you get that? It was in a box, bro. I don't know.
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap'n Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Are you on Around the Horn today?
Tomorrow.
It'd be nice for you to drop a little something on the show for us.
All right, well, what do you want?
I want you to somehow bring in the word munch.
There's no way.
Come on.
I can't get away with that.
Come on, throw munch in there.
Munch?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to say munch.
What if I drop an ice and a spice in some, in some sentence? Not necessarily referencing her. Or, if the Warriors lose tonight, dynasty is over.
Then if
some
that's
Jordan
the case,
Poole talk.
You can throw some ice spice in there. I mean, I'm not Ice Spice, but I really kind of think that maybe the Warriors, blah, blah, blah. And just say it's just fleeting, right? Just like it just goes by people.
This could work.
So if you're not going to say munch, how about a little Ice Spice?
I can't say I hate that word.
You could say Jordan is in a pool of ice.
Spice.
Spiced.
So is she done with him if they lose?
I don't know. This is why you got to drop that in. How about a little Ice Spice or a little something? For us on
I'll workshop it.
Come on now.
I'm going to go to Chicago Cut for lunch.
With a newspaper.
With my newspaper. Sit by myself and workshop this.
We thank you for calling and twitching and listening to our program. Our thanks to you for being with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. And thank you, Courtney.
Of course.
Thank you very much with your newspaper and your munch. Your munch over rumored ice spice. That's what the story says here. For Cap, I'm Jay Hood. We'll do this tomorrow at 7 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Song, everybody, from Chicago.